Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Vestair Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Vestair products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zada Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon. And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, U.S. men's national team players are littered all over top clubs in the Champions League now. So a lot to talk about there tonight. Weston McKennie coming out and saying that all the Juventus stars took him under their wing, including Cristiano Ronaldo, who, by the way, tested positive for COVID today. Raul Ruiz Diaz of Seattle also testing positive for COVID. He could possibly miss the rest of the MLS regular season for Seattle. So challenges abound. I think it's been a tough time for athletes to stay focused, even though they have welcomed being back on the field. I think it's tough, and I think you've seen that in a lot of the performances. All right, Aaron Raybould is going to continue on. Aaron, by the way, what is that music that you went out with Fred and AJ?
Master of Puppets by Metallica.
Oh, that was Metallica. Jeez. I knew that. How did I not know that? That was a great tune. We need to weave that in sometime. Not tonight, but we'll weave it in. Houston Dynamo fans, we'll talk some Dynamo tonight. We've got Ari Lassiter, one of their strikers, coming on the program. Second segment, we're going to talk the Premier League back in action this weekend. Merseyside derby between Liverpool and Everton. Liverpool's last match was a 7-2 spanking by Aston Villa, where they had 70% of the possession. Second segment, we'll talk to Ian Veery of the Liverpool supporters group in Houston, that group that is always out at Hugh O'Connor's out on I-10. Hugh O'Connor's a sponsor of this show as well, our good friend Peter Kingston. A lot of good things in store. We will, second hour, Juan Arango will come on. He's a commentator, calls a lot of South American Copa Libertadores, Sudamericana. He's very, very up on today's CONMEBOL matches, and there are some very interesting ones. For the first time since 2005, Argentina won in La Paz, Bolivia. Now, you can't tell me there is a bigger advantage, unfair advantage, in sports than La Paz, Bolivia, and playing at that level of altitude. I'm told, and I think I saw Juan Arango tweet this out, that it's twice the altitude of Denver and Mile High Stadium. So think about that for a second. That's off the charts. And I remember calling South American World Cup qualifying games, and, you know, I remember when Juan Valdivieso was on Bolivia, and he'd get to the halfway line, and he was shooting. And, I mean, even calling a game off a monitor in Los Angeles, it looked absolutely strange. So Argentina won in La Paz today, but Juan Arango will be on the show later, and he's going to get us caught up on all the CONMEBOL happenings. I can tell you a little bit about some of the results before he comes on. Maybe I'll do that in a minute here. 713-780-3776 is the number. We're going to finish tonight with an incredible interview. We go across the Atlantic to Janine Beckie. Janine used to play on the Houston Dash, as many of the Dash fans know. She played for Sky Blue, played at Texas Tech for Tom Stone and the Red Raiders, and she is now at Manchester City, and she signed a two-year deal in 2018, I think. or maybe a new two-year deal. Anyway, my point is, it's a great conversation with her. I want to re-air this because it was on in Austin last night. It is a great conversation about the rise of women's soccer in England now, and with these big brands and their spending power and being in cultures where it's all soccer. It's not Texans. It's not Astros. It's a pretty enlightening conversation, and I think it does lead us to the point where we say, look, the NWSL's got some incredible competition here, and they've got a lot of top players from a lot of other European countries and other national teams. There are a lot of lone U.S. national team players, but there are also others that are beginning to sign longer-term contracts. And when you are a female soccer player at the professional level, long-term security is not an easy thing to come by. So it is a very interesting discussion. You'll get a sense from her what it's like to be in a city like Manchester where people are either red or blue, and how it's now moving into, you know, the women's game and the coverage they get in the Manchester Evening News and, you know, the Barclays FA Women's Super League now growing, growing in attention, and you get natural rivalries and support because you have these historic soccer clubs that have been around for 80 to 100 years. So there you go. On another note, deep defending teams in Major League Soccer. Why would you buy a season ticket for that? Seriously. I mean, I get it when it's a country like England, let's say, and you're the only game in town, and this is how a coach is playing, and there aren't three other traditional sports that you're competing with. But I'm thinking of Nashville coming in, and they're going to defend deep, and you know they may come out and try to surprise somebody with a little high press in the beginning, but you got a sense that all their training is based on just defending. I mean, they've scored 12 goals. I mean, how is that acceptable? They're out of the playoffs, and I get it. They're still in the playoff picture. So somebody could easily say to me, oh, we're 4-6-6. We're an expansion team. That's our excuse. But when you build a team, and I'm not banging on Gary Smith. He's a lovely guy, and he won the MLS Cup with Colorado. But if you're heading up a team, is that really the way you want to play as an expansion team? That's the way you want to start your blueprint and your vision for what you're going to look like as a soccer team. And I think there's less and less of that in Major League Soccer now. But that'll be the task tomorrow night, is the Houston Dynamo on Channel 55, or if you go to the stadium, and I think there are, if I'm not mistaken, it may still be out there. There are, you buy a ticket, you get one free. I think I saw that on Twitter. I don't know if that was yesterday or today, but that's something to inquire in if you're looking to get down there for a bargain. But the Dynamo need to win. Nashville needs to win. This is a very, very big game. All right, streaming at ESPN975.com, 713-780-3776. Anybody want to comment on the Dynamo Inter-Miami game? They go down on a penalty kick in that one. If you know, we were pretty proud. We as Soccer Matters presented that game, and we learned a lot from it. I'm curious if you watched it, if you want more English language coverage like that on nights when Univision has the national broadcast. Do you want something like that? I'm not getting a sense that there's a lot of feedback to this, so I would love some if it's out there. 713-780-3776. Did you listen to it? Did you not listen to it? Did you not know about it? Is it something you'd like to see in the future? I think these are all good questions to pose to you because it was a bit of a litmus test. I think we're going to try to do another one. We want to do it. I want to do it and present it here by Soccer Matters. And it was an opportunity to weave my sponsors in and reward them. But most importantly, it was to bring you a local call in English as an option. And maybe some of you just watch it in Spanish. Maybe it didn't sync up perfectly. There's a lot going on there, but at least we're thinking about it and trying some things. 713-780-3776 if you want to comment on anything Dynamo related here tonight. and also World Cup qualifying. Now, in South America, truly is the most grueling process, in my opinion. Four out of 10 teams get a free ticket. You've got these crazy altitude places like La Paz, Bolivia, Quito, Ecuador. So it is, I think, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, that I think a lot of people might share it, it is the most grueling World Cup qualifying process in the world. And there is much nationalism between those teams down there. It's pretty incredible. And you heard Dario Sala talking about that nationalistic side when it comes even to the Copa Libertadores. Brazil and Peru right now. Brazil's had 67% of the possession, yet Brazil is down to an André Carrillo goal for Peru. There you go. And Brazil absolutely smoked Bolivia in their first game, 6-0. Brazil's got people like Thiago Silva playing, Marquinhos, Danilo, Casemiro, Coutinho, Douglas Luiz, Firmino, Neymar, Rick Carlson, all in the starting lineup. It's pretty incredible. I'm looking at Peru. Pedro Galis plays for Orlando, is their starting goalkeeper. Yoshimar Yotun, who played in Major League Soccer, I'm not sure if he's on a roster anymore. And on the bench, just trying to see if there's any other Major League Soccer players. Andy Polo is on the bench for Peru. So a lot there. 713-780-3776, again, the number. DC United looking for a new coach. Ben Olsen is out. And listen, there's been tremendous testimony and all absolutely, when it comes to a guy that has been a face of DC United. I thought Marco Echeverry was in the beginning, but I guess him and Jaime Moreno, or, you know, Ben Olsen's been there for so long, coach, player, U.S. national team, UVA. I mean, he was so connected to the area. Absolute legend as a player and a coach. Nobody wants to see him lose his job, myself included. Had that horrible injury at Nottingham Forest. Who doesn't love this guy? The intensity, the passion. That's one side of it. That's one side of it. The other side of it, and I spoke about this on the Austin show last night, and these shows, by the way, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. When they get Wayne Rooney and they decide to be a deep defending team, and I'm going there again, and Wayne Rooney's standing at the halfway line and he's coming 10, 15 yards back into his own half to get the ball, and they're hoping somebody's going to run in front of him and he's going to pick him out. Maybe Luciano Acosta. I don't know. How is it that there wasn't a plan put in place to set up Wayne Rooney to be higher up the field, a team that's higher up the field, that's going to look to win the ball in higher areas up the field, so that when you win it and you give it to Wayne Rooney, he's in an opponent's half of the field where he can hurt you. And I would even say in the final third. So I'm going to shoot down all these theories of he didn't have enough resources. There's people getting a lot out of not a lot of resources, and that is a fair claim. But that doesn't mean you have to play as a deep defending team if you don't have resources. And then I'm watching Rooney at this time, and I'm going, how is he enjoying this? He can't be enjoying this American adventure. Now, Ben Olsen is an amazing personality. He has been one in the game. He's a remarkable story. But we have a hard time separating emotion for players and individuals and coaches and what's actually going on in the field and going on with a soccer club. And by the way, this isn't on Ben Olsen. This is on whoever are the visionaries at DC United, whoever the owner is, it's on ownership. But I would simply say, if you are not an attack-oriented team in MLS, I'm not buying a season ticket. I got news for you. Again, we don't have clubs with 100-year history in towns where there are no other sporting options. The way you play has to be your calling card. It has to be your entertainment. It has to be the biggest piece so that everybody else can do their jobs. Sales, marketing, relevancy. So, it's a pretty simple concept. And that's why I'm glad Todd Ramos is here, because he's trying to play the game the right way. Now, he's going to need more resources in the future. I don't think there's any question. And one of them, Mateo Bahamic, that the Dynamo have signed from Instituto, is expected to fly on Friday from Argentina here to the U.S. So Dynamo tomorrow, 4-6-7 on 19 points, 3-1-3 at home. Really in need of 3 points. I don't think there's any question. And somebody has to step up to help Darwin Quintero. Mauro Manotas is our big-time striker. He's really sputtered this year. He was aggressive. Sadly, he got sent off in that last game. But, you know, he's trying to figure out how to play in a differing system in a very differing way. But he's got to put up. And so do others. And the time is now. And you know, if all of a sudden you get a Mauro Manotas untracked or a singular player untracked, you never know what it can lead to in this playoff format and where we are right now. That shouldn't be your crutch. Hey, let's get in the playoffs and just see how we do. On the other hand, it's something that can easily occur and easily can happen. And I think Darwin Quintero needs some real help. All right, a new reserve league has been reported by Jeff Reuter and The Athletic. Haven't really gotten to wrap myself around this. Don't know a lot of the details. I would have a lot of questions about this. But new reserve league set to begin in 2021. It's supposed to be announced later this week. How does that affect the Dynamo and RSL, or RGV, down in the Valley? Some teams might stay in the USL. Some teams may join this league. Part of the USL attraction was improved competition. That's what people would always say. All right, quick word here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're gonna bring you a work ethic for 24/7, nights and weekends. They'll give you the representation you need. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're presenting sponsors of this show and our sister show in Austin, Texas, on the Horn. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in a car accident, motorcycle, you work in a refinery, you get hurt on the job at construction, John and his firm are going to represent you. 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Lustav Vermouth, big thank you to them. Get a little Spain in your life. Lustav Vermouth is fun. You do it over ice. You do it over ice with tonic water or club soda, or my favorite, paired in a gin and tonic with an orange peel and a few drops of lime. Lustav Vermouth is refreshing. Get it at your local liquor store. Ask for it. They will order it. It's Lustau, L-U-S-T-A-U. It's such a good substitute, but it's great on its own, too. And I'll remind you this. It comes in three different styles. Rojo with caramel and cola. Thinking about that with club soda and rum, that could be quite the drink. They have a rosé with a hint of vanilla and a white with rosemary. All right, we'll take a break. We got more to come here. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And a big thank you to NB Elite Realty and Nebo Bandovic.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I'm Jordi Sunyer in Barcelona, and you're listening to Soccer Matters.
Jimenez. Pues al empate! Gol! Jiménez empezando la jugada con un servicio de genio, magistral, y la definición para el empate. 2-2.
Mexico with that late goal from Diego Lainez in the 86th minute. A 2-2 draw with the African champions Algeria and Den Haag, the Netherlands. Tecatito Corona had the opener in the 43rd minute. Benacer in the 45th ties it up for Algeria. Riyad Mahrez, who everybody knows, 67th minute, and then Lainez in the 86th. Two assists. Houston Wolves fans, you're going to be very happy to know that your man Raul Jimenez picked up a pair of assists. 22 minutes in, it is Brazil down a goal to Peru, although dominating the ball possession in that. 7:30, here in about 5 minutes, Chile and Colombia. And in my neighborhood, there is a place where there are a ton of Colombian fans that congregate for games. And it's just a reminder that Houston is such a massive soccer city. And, you know, they're going to be packing an outdoor patio area. They got a big screen, pretty crazy and pretty exciting, you know, that there is this passion. We are a huge soccer city. We've always said that. Houston is a soccer city. Was saying that before the Dynamo ever got here when I was working at the Houston Chronicle. Argentina 2-1 over Bolivia. First win in Bolivia, I think, since 2005. The greatest advantage in all of sports is La Paz, Bolivia. Just don't forget that. You tell me if there's anything that comes close. I don't see it. And it's all backed up by results. It is a tough place to play. Last night, I mentioned on the Austin show, I said, you will see Argentina have a struggle in Bolivia. It's just not physically possible to get out of there without really having to fight to get through. It is the greatest advantage in all of sports. It's almost ridiculous that they play games there. Joaquin Correa would get the game winner for Argentina. Marcelo Martins in the 24th, a header, would put Bolivia up. And then a clearance that went off of Lautaro Martinez. Guy goes to clear a ball, whacks it off, mid-deflects in. Messi was the creator in this one, played very well despite not being on the score sheet. So in two games, to all our great friends from Argentina and Houston, including Sebastian Abraham at Patagonia Restaurant and the one and only Danny Gonzalez, well, guess what? You guys have 6 points in two games. Ecuador 4-2 over Uruguay. It was 4-0 at one point, until two Suarez late penalties. That is another one at altitude in Quito. It was 4-0 until the 84th minute. All right, going to switch gears because you heard that music. It's ferry across the Mersey because there is a huge derby this weekend. And our next guest is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Ian Veery of the Liverpool Supporters Group in Houston, huge Liverpool fan, very much up on the English game. Ian joins us now. Ian, how are you? How you doing, Ian?
Doing well, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good. That was very, you know, usually here is such a very upbeat guy. What happened? Did I disappoint you with your intro, or what was it?
Oh, no, that sounds good, actually. Thank you.
Okay, are you all right? You all right? What's going on? You seem preoccupied.
Yeah, doing well. I'm a little bit nervous for the weekend.
No,
I'm not really.
Don't be.
After the last game, you know, I think games that we think should be 3 points in the bag aren't quite 3 points in the bag anymore. So there you go.
All right, you just led yourself into it. Let's start with the 7-2 shellacking from Aston Villa. Now, To make sure we put this in context, Liverpool had 70% of the ball. But yeah, that was a shocking result. So you tell me where you think Liverpool is and kind of what's going on with them that there would be a scoreline like that.
Well, to be honest, since the season started, it's looked a little bit like that. The first game against Leeds, we were lucky to win that. Leeds could have easily won that game. And then I think we got it back together against Chelsea. Alcantara, I think, made a massive difference in that game. And then the Arsenal game, again, looked a little bit more reasonable. But I don't know, the Villa game, I think, for me, the back four, we've conceded 11 goals and scored 11 goals this season. I mean, we've got the worst defensive record, I think, in the top eight. I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening to the team that did have the best defensive record in the Premier League last year.
How much of this comes down to concentration, COVID, all the craziness that's going on? Because I think consistency is something difficult to find, although we do see Premier League teams that are being consistent at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, Everton, they've started the season really, really well. I mean, it was kind of interesting when they assigned Ancelotti as their manager and he took the job. Everybody was like, wow. But I tell you, he's doing a good job and he's made some really good signings. I mean, James seems reborn this year. Calvert-Lewin is like on fire right now. And defensively, they've been pretty sound, even with Pickford in goal, because there seems, even with when he's playing for England, there's definitely some questions and he does tend to be a little bit error prone. But this weekend, it's a very important game, for, I think, for both teams. Because it could really put a marker down for Everton, and Liverpool really just have to get back on track, like you say, after the absolute shlacking from Villa.
All right, Liverpool number 5 in the Premier League table. Everton is, as Ian mentioned, 4-0, a full 12 points. They're absolutely perfect. They signed Carlo Ancelotti. Ancelotti has been successful everywhere he goes. He is truly a player's manager. He has got James Rodriguez playing exceptional for him. He's one of the centerpieces of the team. You tell us a little bit about what the Liverpool-Everton rivalry means in this Merseyside derby.
I think it is the biggest rivalry in English football, to be honest. I think it actually takes even precedent over Liverpool-Manchester United, I'll be honest, because it is really one half of the town against the other. I mean, the stadiums are literally a stone's throw apart. The history, I mean, we're looking, they've played 237 Merseyside derbies now. That's some serious history there.
Has there been one in recent times as anticipated as this one, just based on the fact that Everton is off to such a good start?
Well, the last time Everton actually won at Goodison was in 2010. So they're definitely, definitely wanting to put one over on us on Saturday, I think. It's the early game as well, so it's going to be an interesting start to the weekend.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be on the big NBC, so that I don't think you have to go to the Peacock to get this game. I think it's going to be accessible.
Hopefully
you're
not.
Going to be watching it over, yeah, you're going to be watching it over at Hugh O'Connor's. So you guys have still been assembling. You're not, you know, you haven't worried about the COVID. There's still people going over to Hugh O'Connor's and Peter's Bar, and you guys are social distancing and still watching games. Tell us what it's been like.
Yeah, it's we've just increased the capacity again. I think it's gone up to 75% now, 50% before. Everybody's wearing a mask. We are the pub has been very clear. They're cleaning the place down, you know, doing everything that they can do. It's been a very safe environment. The games, you know, people are sort of starting to come back out now. First couple of games, it was a bit empty, but I think now people are starting to wander back in, and it's just a great venue for the games. I think it's going to be an exciting game. I don't think it, well, actually, I mean, the last time Liverpool Everton played was like towards the end of last season, a 0-0 draw. Not a great game. I think this one is going to be very different because the goals are pinging in left, right and centre in the Premier League right now. And I think the lack of fans has had a massive impact on that. And I think the like Liverpool defensively, they're not getting that energy from the crowd. And it's almost, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's they're not. It doesn't seem to be the same sort of passion and drive that they normally play with. I mean, for me, Salah has started this season exceptionally well because he was a bit in and out last year. But the rest of the team, for me, have been a bit questionable, to be totally honest. And the Alisson injury, I think, is concerning. I mean, Adrian was a good, pretty good century or second goalkeeper for us, but he had an absolute nightmare. Now, three of the goals were deflections, so I think we've got to give him some credit or some space on that. But even so, the back five, it was just, they just looked so out of position and no one seemed to really know where they were going. And it's surprising to see that Liverpool team, especially with Van Dijk in there, play like that.
Yeah, it is. And actually watching Virgil van Dijk play for the Netherlands, my sense was he's just not all there focus-wise.
Yeah.
Which is pretty hard to even believe you're saying based on what you've done and what you've seen him do for Liverpool and how consistent this man has been and how important he has been. It sounds like, though, that Everton's going to get a boost this weekend. Mane's healthy. Alcantara, Joel Matip all came back into training today. That's what I've been told and I've read today.
Yes.
And there's been some...
I think Alcantara...
These guys were out due to COVID-19.
Sorry.
They were out due to, just making sure they quarantined, I guess, after COVID. So, anyway.
Yep. I think Alcantara is the signing of the summer, I have to say. I think that's an absolute steal, the business Liverpool did for him. I think, just in that second half against Chelsea, he showed what he can do. And I really hope he starts on Saturday. And I think he will. I think he could be the player that really takes Liverpool to the next level, because we've not really had, we've had midfield rotation, we've not really had, we could argue Coutinho. After Coutinho left, a playmaker. But Coutinho sometimes was a bit in and out. So I'm really excited. I've seen him play for Bayern a lot. I'm really excited for him to start bossing the midfield around. So we'll see.
Ian, do you remember those days when everybody was in absolute, they were going crazy because Coutinho was leaving?
Yes. I remember that. I was one of them, actually, for a little while. But when they said what money that Barcelona were going to pay, there's no way Liverpool could have turned that down. And what they did with the money was absolutely sensational. They bought Van Dijk and Alisson, which arguably transformed the team. I think, both of those players helped Liverpool win the first title in 30 years. And I wonder, and you said about the focus with Van Dijk, I actually am still wondering if... There was so much pressure on those boys after the previous season where they lost by a point. And to be fair, for most of the season, the following season, they played exceptionally well. After they won it, and the earliest team ever to win it, they really did seem to lose focus. And it's very difficult to win it again. There's not many teams do it, to get that consistency and that level of consistency again for 38 games.
No, what they did was incredible, and the focus and concentration that went into it. We're talking to Ian Veery, Houston Liverpool supporters group, know Liverpool up and down, also a big part of our soccer community here. This interview is brought to you by Hugh O'Connor's out on I-10, where they meet to watch games. Look, Everton has some belief going into this, though. I think it's the first time that they have. I think that can be either parlayed and squeezed into a great performance, or that also can go the other way sometimes. And maybe you're a little bit nerve-wracked, but I don't see that happening. I think they're playing very, very well. I think this is a team that's got a new level of confidence. I think they do smell some blood in the water here, that they can potentially get a win that would just absolutely set their fans free. I just think this is really going to be something to see this weekend.
Yes, I absolutely agree with everything you said. And apparently they've already had a parade in Liverpool, Everton, because they're actually top of the Premier League. So
Everton made Spurs look like a pretty ordinary team earlier in the year. So I got to say that Don Carlo Ancelotti, he's getting it done. He's got tremendous respect for Klopp. This is two great managers that are going to go at it. And Ian, as always, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Glenn, always a pleasure.
All right, that's our man, Ian Veery, Liverpool Supporters Group, Houston Liverpool Supporters Group, and they meet over at Hugh O'Connor's on I-10. So that's a game that's a campus game this weekend, and that's Everton and Liverpool in their Merseyside derby. That is a good one. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with Houston Dynamo's Ari Lassiter is going to join us, and really looking forward to that interview with him as the Dynamo are prepping for Nashville SC tomorrow night. That's... a game that'll be at BBVA Stadium in Houston. Tickets are available. Fans can go to that game. You can also watch it on Channel 55. You can join Eddie Robinson, myself, and Cindy Bourbano for the call of that game. Again, Soccer Matters is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And also, NB Elite Realty. Shout out for Nebo Bandabic, the former Houston Hotshots goal scorer. Remember when they played over in the Stummit? Nebo wants to invite you on a journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. He finished his career. He went on to build a real estate investment empire, multi-million-dollar portfolio. Has had a great second career. You follow Nebo at Nebo Bandovic on Instagram. It's at N-E-B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C. You'll get daily investment tips, secrets, and more on how to be mentored by the master himself through his VIP program. Nebo Bandovic on Instagram, at N-E-B-O-B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C. Ferry across the Mersey. It's the Merseyside Derby this weekend, Liverpool and Everton. We'll take a break. Ari Lassiter, Houston Dynamo, coming up.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I'm Tyler Adams, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
We expect them to do what they've been doing all year, you know, which is most of the time sit back, be very patient, very organized, and wait for some opportunities to counter and try to catch you on the counter. So we certainly expect that. I just look at the fact that, you know, I don't want to worry about the results of the other teams. We need to win our games. That's what matters. And, you know, where the other teams are and what their results are, it's not something that I've been looking at too closely. I look at our team and I'm thinking, well, we have to win our games. That's number one. And then if we win our games, now we can look at the table and see where do we fall. But when we don't win our games, you know, to sit there and hope for somebody else to lose, I think it's not a good place to be. At that point, I'm disappointed about us. I don't want to get more disappointed because somebody else doesn't lose. That's not... You know, I got to worry about our team.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. That was Todd Ramos today during the press conference. We're waiting on Ari Lassiter here to join us here shortly. Let's continue on with a little bit more of Todd Ramos from this press conference today. Again, Dynamo taking on Nashville. It's a very defensive-oriented team. It's only scored 12 goals this year, only 6 goals during the run of play, believe it or not. I mean, it's hard to even fathom that as a professional soccer team. Here's Tab on talking about the Dynamo attack.
It's too bad the way it worked out for Mauro, because I had mentioned on this call, actually, that Mauro was in the best form I had seen him all year. He had been working really hard, and then he finally came in the game. You know, he was working hard against Dallas, takes the red card. So now he misses the second half of that game plus the full next game. So now he's 3 games behind. He's still working really hard in practice. I'm hoping that tomorrow we see, that Mauro with all that energy that he's been working with. And it's unfortunate that he was in his best moment when this little break came for him. But I expect a lot from him tomorrow.
Yeah, so that was Mauro Manotas. Now, Mauro Manotas is a big money player for the Houston Dynamo. He's got to produce, and I think Darwin Quintero right now really, really needs a breakout from Mauro Manotas. Start producing some goals, start taking some attention off him, and as Tab Ramos said, he had a good 45 minutes going before he got sent off in the 2-0 win over FC Dallas the last time the Dynamo were at the stadium. There must be a number of things going on here. We do remember he had some injury problems. It is a very differing system. He does not have his foil, Albert Delis. He is playing with his back to goal more. It is a little bit more difficult of a search in this type of a buildup to find space. That said, he's had chances, and he should have more goals right now. He should have a half a dozen goals right now. I don't think there's any question, and he's your primary goal scorer. So I think there is a level of pressure on Mauro, and according to Tab Ramos, he's been training very well. Here's Tab Ramos on the Dynamo attack.
Once we lost Albert, we tried to replace him with different guys at different times. And, it's been Ari, the guy that we put on that side, although we know that Ari will do eventually better on the left side. And then also we've been, because of, you know, whether it was injury or whether it was suspension or whatever, we've been rotating, you know, Mauro and Christian. And so not all the guys have played at the same time. The one that's been the common denominator up there has been Darwin Quintero. And because he has gotten all the opportunities, I think he has been able to make all the plays he makes. You know, and so I think that's what it takes. It takes a little time for them to gel together. We are getting chances, just like we did the last game where, you know, we missed that one-on-one at the end. But, I mean, we, you know, in terms of everybody figuring out everybody else, I mean, you know, it takes a little bit of time. And sometimes when you don't get the results, you overanalyze things too. And but I think, you know, I think we're ready for tomorrow. And I think that's the most important part.
Boy, preach to the choir. You overanalyze things. Isn't that the truth? The one beautiful thing is Todd Ramos is very upfront with the media. I just wish we had more media coming out. But he is very, very upfront, straight to the point. And actually, it's so refreshing talking soccer with him. I'm talking from a personal standpoint. It's fantastic. Now, Memo Rodriguez was also a part of this press conference today. Here's a couple of questions that I asked him.
Is there a sense amongst you and maybe your teammates that, look, somebody's got to begin to step up to help Darwin Quintero because he seems to be getting targeted every game physically? Do you feel that sense personally? And do some of the other guys feel that because he seems to be carrying it?
Yeah, I mean, we know that Darwin's a dangerous player. They're always going to keep an eye on him. Just the way he combines with everybody on the pitch, he always wants the ball. Yeah, and I think that at times I think we have to get out of our comfort zone and you know, provide a little bit more to the team. I mean, I think, you know, sometimes when I get the ball, I think they scout me at times and say, you know, we got to press him high because he's going to take a shot from anywhere. So sometimes it's difficult to take that shot from outside the box. Maybe I can be a little bit more crafty and you know, use my dribble to my advantage and help the team in that aspect. But yeah, I think everybody brings their different qualities, and I think these next coming up games, we have to maximize those from everybody.
Can I ask one more question, Memo? Is that okay? Yep. Okay, one more is just, you know, breaking down this team. I know it was difficult the last time you played him. You got a late equalizer. Specifically take us into some of the things you guys as a team and individuals need to do to break them down.
Yeah, I think we have to be patient in our buildup. I think against them, we were patient with the buildup, but we weren't effective. We weren't given that final ball was the issue in Nashville when we played against them, because we know that, you know, they're going to defend with a block of four, and then, you know, they're going to be ready to counter at times. And we just got to be patient. We don't have to score on the first ball that, you know, we switch and we have an open guy. Maybe we can keep swinging the ball. Keep them running, and then when the right time is, you know, penetrate down the middle or down the wings like we do well, and you know, hopefully we're clinical in the final third.
So that was Memo Rodriguez. So breaking down deep defending teams, there's always a lot of conversation around this. First thing you don't want to do is give the game's first goal up, because then that just galvanizes them more to defend deep and sit behind the ball and make life very, very difficult. I get the patience part, but I will say that against Nashville the last time, I think you would say you want the ball to be circulated a little bit quicker. You want the ball leaving your feet quickly so that you're moving an opponent, and you can hopefully catch them in a situation where you have a 2-on-1 or you get somebody isolated that's a good dribbler, a Darwin Quintero or an Ari Lassiter. That's important. I think your dribblers, okay, when you have a team that is very compact and is very organized, your dribblers, your Darwin Quinteros, you know, you beat somebody in that first line of four, others have to react. The center back has to step out, space is created. So the greatest foil for me, the greatest solution to deep defending teams is individual players. So some of the Dynamo players have got to come up big individually, and I think that's Memo Rodriguez. I think that's Darwin off the dribble. I think that's Lassiter. I think you got to get some width as well, and you got to get penetration. You got to get behind outside backs. And it's not easy against this team because they're well-drilled. They spend a ton of time on this defending, as much as we don't like it. You also have to shoot from longer range in an attempt and a hope to pull them out a little bit so that maybe you can create a little space behind them. Get them out of their nature of what they do best, I think, is a piece in this. You also have to recognize when team shape is lost. So let's say they go on an attack and they commit, this time, instead of two guys into the attack, four, and you win the ball and you make a quick pass into midfield, and those four guys are on the wrong side of the ball now. This is a time you have to recognize. This is a time where the tempo's got to get lifted. This is a time where people have to get running and get in front of the ball, and this is a time you got to go, 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 go. No question about it. So you got to recognize those moments. The other time that can happen also is on corners. Could be the perfect time to counterattack against Nashville. You know, they're all captively in a penalty area. They take a corner, which is one of their ways of scoring goals. Walker Zimmerman, who's been an all-star defender. Believe me, LAFC's missing this kid. That's a guy that, you know, is dangerous on set pieces and corners. He scored their lone goal in the 2-1 loss to Sporting. So, question mark there for sure. All right, we are going to take a quick break here. I'm going to get my voice back. And we're going to come back and we're going to continue to talk more soccer. We have Juan Arango coming up here shortly. Just to let you know, Colombia, a 1-0 lead over Chile. Jefferson Lerma in the 7th minute. Chile was dominating the possession in that one. Peru and Brazil are now tied 1-1. Neymar has hit from the penalty spot. Venezuela went down 1-0 to Paraguay. So CONMEBOL, World Cup qualifying, all off and running. Big stuff here today. These are very important games in South America. We'll take a break. When we come back, it's Juan Arango. He will get us updated on a lot that's happened in CONMEBOL today.
ESPN 97.5.